Live here on a Monday morning here on the CBC Sports Panel. I am the fine host and owner of the Couch Potato Sports Show, and I am the hardest working man in sports radio. Good day, everybody. How are you? Getting started off this week here. Looking forward to a good week as we are gearing up for the Super Bowl. We are 6 days away, and I'm keeping up with my promise. I am not watching coverage of that pre-game nonsense for the week because all I heard that they were talking about was Jim Harbaugh and the Harbaugh brothers, and frankly, don't care. I care about the game. I care about who's going to be able to stop the spread offense of the 49ers, if they will. I want to know why. I want to know who's going to be that player, and we're going to do that. We're going to cover that ourselves here on my show, the Couch Potato Sports Show, on Super Bowl Sunday. So we'll cover it for, and I, this will be me. I refuse to watch the coverage because I'm going to go on a morning rant here. And the morning rant is I am so sick of Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis has never met a camera that he doesn't love. He loves every camera that's out there. But I don't want people to misunderstand me. I'm not saying Ray Lewis is not a great player. Not even coming close to that. Because you don't go to the Pro Bowl 13 times, okay, and pretty much do that all in a row, except for 2005. This guy started off his career in 97, okay, and was a Pro Bowler to 2004. 2005, I think he had an injury, if I remember correctly. I think it was an injury. I'm almost sure that's the reason why he didn't. Not because he didn't play well. I'll look that up and try to find that. But from 2006 to 2011 straight. So from 97 to 2011, we were talking about Ray Lewis and the Pro Bowl every year. The seven-time first-team All-Pro. Seven-time first-team. Out of those 13, seven of them, he was first-team All-Pro. Three-time second-team, Super Bowl champion, two-time AFC champion. Outside the Super Bowl that he won. Defensive player of the year a couple times, three times defensive player of the year. I mean, the guy's got, in other words, the guy has all of the stats. He's got everything that you need to, and this guy is probably a surefire first-round Hall of Famer. What I don't like about Ray Lewis is the fact that and there's a lot of players out there who are outspoken about God and everything. Okay, I turn the channel when that happens as well. But the thing about it's just so overdone, Ray. Hey, Ray, if you're listening to me this morning, hey, just bring it down about two or three notches. Oh, God is great. Oh, wonderful. I'm sick of that. Okay, that's all camera play. And the camera play is getting really old. And that is the main reason why I'm not watching for these 2 weeks, normally I'm digging this 2 weeks. I want to, you can't beat up a Super Bowl more so in 2 weeks before. Okay, I mean, hitting everything about the Super Bowl, you're going to find out within this 2 weeks. I did not listen to coverage whatsoever on TV, listened to very little sports talk radio because we were doing our own thing, except for the fact of sports talk with the guys. And we really haven't touched on the Super Bowl because we're going to do it on Sunday. But I know for a fact, because I, you know, even when I just happen to flip over to, you know, really quick when I'm going to pages, my homepage is NFL.com. It's Ray Lewis. I mean, it's been Ray Lewis all week. I don't, you know, and that's enough for me to hate the fact that I don't want the Ravens to win the Super Bowl. That is enough for me to say, God, I hate that. I like Joe Flacco, and I want this guy to be able to take, I want the guy to be a Super Bowl champion. But God, Ray Lewis is, I'm getting Ray Lewis jammed down my throat. And I'm sick of it. Ray Lewis needs to go off in the corner and just be quiet. Because his, I mean, and here's the thing. I know the sports channels and everything, they're falling for this BS. And it got worse at week seven, right after he announced his retirement. Then every camera's on it. And boy, oh boy, does this guy know it. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it, and I haven't watched it because I know what this whole week has been. However, that having been said, I want the Ravens to lose this game, and you know, and I'm hearing all the noise that, you know, the line is 3 in favor of San Diego, and I'm asking myself the question. You know, I love the 49ers, and I hope they win just for the Ray Lewis factor, but man. There's just something about this Ravens team this year that is so much different than the years past. You talk about, we could talk all day long about the quarterback position. Joe Flacco every year for 5 years has made the playoffs. No other quarterback has done that in history, by the way, but that will be overshadowed because he hasn't been the best quarterback in the world. This year he's put it together, and he still hasn't been the best quarterback in the NFL. Let's just put it right there out on the line, okay? However, he's been able to do some good stuff this year. And that stuff has got him to week 17, getting into the playoffs, doing what they got to do. Didn't get the bye, but they've been playing really well. They've been on a real roll. San Francisco, on the other hand, you take a look at that football team. This was a team that I really honestly thought needed the first round bye, and they get it. But my question is, how will they be able to handle the Ravens on Sunday? But, you know, I want to, you know, and I'm not going to, if I had someone put a gun to my head and said, pick your football team now, I'd pick the Ravens in this football game. I need to find a reason to be able to say the 49ers will be able to win this football game. And, you know, and I'm going to go back to old school on the reason why I don't right now don't think so. Is, and I'm putting it all on the shoulders of a second-year quarterback who's having a great season. And I'm not going to sit here because that would be dumb. For me to say Colin Kaepernick is not a good quarterback, because obviously he is. But I'm wondering about the experience factor and everything else. I know he's gone through the playoffs, but we're talking about the biggest stage. The Super Bowl. We are talking that game. Colin Kaepernick's in the Super Bowl. I mean, if you think realistically, he can't even think himself that could have been a possibility. And if he did, I question. Sometimes you got to look at realistically and look at where you're coming from. 49ers last year, and great story this week as well, or, you know, going up to this game. 49ers should have been in the Super Bowl last year, except one or two plays. Same thing with the Ravens, and this year they're in. The other teams made it past. So I like the matchup. I like what's going on. And my question out there, 347-637-2306, the number to give me a call. Listen. You know, are you watching this game? I'm watching the game because I love the NFL. But really, the NFL, this is not the best game for the NFL in the Super Bowl, if you really think about it, as far as fandemonium and everything else. And, you know, I keep hearing that it's not going to have anything to do with the viewership of the Super Bowl. And I'm telling you, I think it is. I think we're going to see a drop in viewership of the Super Bowl this year just because of the two teams that are in it. So when you look at the Super Bowl and you look at the popularity, I mean, when we've been talking about the Super Bowl, we've been talking about major teams in the Super Bowl. Last year, New York Giants. They do I don't want to say the impossible, but they, you know, they run the table at the end of the year. And I think for the fact that the Super Bowl has been the epitome of the NFL and what it's all about and what it stands for, you can arguably talk about the Super Bowl being one that it's not going to be the one that you're going to remember for the rest of your life. I think that's what it boils down to, is this game. Except the players. I mean, the players, I'm not going to sit there and argue. These players, this is their biggest games of the career for a lot of them. And for the Ravens, you know, Ray Lewis, this is the second biggest game of his career. And I get it and understand it, and it makes sense to me 100%. 49ers haven't been necessarily the best team in the NFL for many, many years. And the Ravens, you know, really, if you think about the Ravens, they're kind of a, even though it's Art Modell and he owned the Browns and everything, the Ravens themselves, they're relatively a new team. And what I mean is under 20 years. But, you know, we're not going to see a lot of, you know, craziness out of, you know, this game. And I think that's where it comes from. Now, get this, okay? The Nielsen ratings for last year's Super Bowl with the New England Patriots and the New York Giants marked a 47 national Nielsen ratings. Now, folks, if you don't know what that means, that's an incredible amount of people watching the NFL Super Bowl, Giants and Patriots. In Boston, that number hiked up to 56.7 on the Nielsen rating. Indianapolis, that number was 56.4 because the game was actually played in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. Okay. And in New York, that number was 49.7. An estimated 111.3 million people watched that football game last year. And those are some impressive numbers. If you go back to the Pittsburgh Green Bay the year before that, 111 million people watched that football game. The year before that, there's actually some craziness about these numbers. The year before that, it was the New Orleans Saints and the Indianapolis Colts. 106 million estimated. And that is an estimated average. Some people say those numbers are skewed. That game was 153.4 million viewers. So that's what some people think about that game. Total listenership, you know, for people who watch it, 98 million from Super Bowl 53, where the Arizona Cardinals and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's the game I wanted to get to. I want you to realize there was one great big good team in that football, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the Arizona Cardinals, you're going to see that number slide down to these type of numbers. And that's, I'm not saying it's bad. Don't get me wrong. Okay, those are good numbers in Nielsen ratings. They'll take them all day long. You're talking about 42% national Nielsen ratings, okay? Pittsburgh, it was 53.6. That means 56% of the people in Pittsburgh were watching the Super Bowl compared to the 47 in Arizona. This year, I think there's going to be a difference, and it's not to shut down this Super Bowl, but I think the viewership is going to go less than 111, which is what that number has been for the last 3 years, around 111 million. I think we're going to drop down to 100. Now, what does that mean in reality? It still means a lot of people watching the freaking Super Bowl. But at the same time, you got to think about what that whole thing is all about. You know, right now, just to let you know, for a 30-second spot for a Super Bowl is $4 million. When you've had numbers like 111 for 3 years, now they're gonna take a hit on this. And the Super Bowl will be played on CBS, which is good because I love Jim Nance and I like Phil Simms. These are guys that I like that announce the games. These are the two of my favorites. I mean, outside of Madden, I mean, these are the guys that I prefer to listen to. So who's your team? Well, you let me know. Get online. You can do so. 347-637-2306. That is the number to get up online here. But you think about all that and how all that went and what it was all about this year. I think just Ray Lewis is pushing the buttons. It's making me not root for the team I think that will win. That happens to me sometimes. Guy's never met a camera he didn't like, I'm telling you. I don't know. Should I blame him? I don't know. But, you know, he's really getting old on me. And we'll see. All I'm saying is we'll see. You know, once the game starts, like I said, I'm not even going to watch it. I mean, we're going to do our own pregame show. I'm not even going to watch the pregames. I'm going to go by what I know about these football teams. And who knows? Maybe I can change my opinion about this and the whole thing. Maybe this week. Maybe this week I'll take a look at some of the things that are going on and actually watch a video, you know, and allow myself to enjoy this week, because hopefully this week it'll be talking about the game itself. And I will tell you, I just popped up on NFL.com just to look because I was really, really interested. Finally, there's no Ray Lewis on the front of NFL.com. Finally. So that being said, there's a lot of things going on in the NFL, and some of the things that we kind of touched a little bit yesterday, we'll go ahead and I'll touch on a little bit more some of the news that's going on in the NFL. By the way, if anybody cares, NFC scored 62 points in the Pro Bowl game. Evidently, that was a record. And I don't know. This whole thing, you know, when you're showing 62 points, it obviously shows that no one cares about the game. 62-35. Past two games, the last 2 years, I mean, if you've watched the Pro Bowl, they were horrible. That's why I didn't even watch it this year. But that was the score. Don't know who, you know, not even sure. Here it is. It says that J.J. Watts even went out for a pass as a wide receiver. Kind of crazy. But in that game, though, we saw the last game for Jeff Saturday. You know, he lined up on the AFC side, snapped the ball to Peyton Manning. You know, these are the kind of things. I think there's something to this retirement. I really do. I think there's a book coming out. I really do. And it might not be flattering. And I don't, there's nothing been put out there about Peyton Manning and everything. It's the reason why I like Peyton Manning. I mean, you don't hear about Peyton Manning on stories unless it's about real, about football. You don't hear him about stupid stories on the side or anything else like that. By the way, the guy is funny. There's no question that Peyton Manning is funny. Some of the Saturday Night Live skits, I mean, the guy's funny. I mean, he's naturally funny, too. It's not forced. You know, sometimes you watch, I don't know if you're like me, I don't watch Saturday Night Live very much anymore, but you know, how they try to force someone to be funny. Peyton Manning is genuinely funny. He's got some of the best commercials out there. I'd rather, myself, instead of watching all these commercials about the Super Bowl, I'd rather watch Peyton Manning commercials. Who knows, maybe there'll be one. But I don't watch the game for the commercials. You know, they really try to get those women in those in that situation to watch the game. And I get it. I understand it. You know. But it just kind of makes me mad. I mean, I really don't care. I'm watching the Super Bowl for the commercials. Please spare me. I mean, spare me big time. Talk about some of the things that have happened, and I on the Couch Potato Sports Show, I kind of know I'm going to do this show, so you know, on Monday, so I don't really go into it. But Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints, Bounty Gate fall guy. Okay, now granted, hey, we heard the audio, we had it here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. And it's sickening, really, if you think about it. It's sickening. But talk about a guy that's taking it in the shorts. This guy hasn't been reinstated yet. Sean Payton's been reinstated. All the players have been reinstated. Everybody has been reinstated. You know, general manager's been reinstated. Greg Williams still, you know, taking it in shorts. Now, granted, like I said, if you heard that video or that audio, you're questioning this guy. But I think it's funny that there's no hesitation to hire this guy as a defensive coordinator again. That just goes to show how much everybody really worried about the fact of Bountygate. To me, I mean, Greg Williams has, let's just put it this way, in Sonny Clark's perfect world of the NFL, this guy would never have a job ever again. After I heard that audio, he'd be done. He would not be a part of the NFL organization on any level. I mean, even water carrier, he would not be a part of it. Now, granted, I'm a little more rougher on these guys, and that main reason is I don't know how you could be so stupid when you have that much money. But take away from the fact that this guy is – the Tennessee Titans want this guy. Tells you, first of all, he's a pretty damn good coach. But second of all, this goes on every single day on every – and if anything, if all the year and the whole thing, you know, the whole year and everything that goes on, when you take a look at Greg Williams, this guy has no business being in the NFL. Never mind college. Or I think I'd ban him from football because the way that he teaches football is really horrible. But the fact of the matter is this guy's already hired before he's even reinstated, okay? As soon as he's reinstated, he signs the contract. And boy, oh boy, I'm taking the first plane. Matter of fact, I want to be in the office when I find out that I'm reinstated so I can sign the contract before they get a second chance to think about whether or not they want to hire me or not. I'd get my John Hancock on that contract so fast after they say, yeah, Greg, it's okay, you're back in the NFL. Where's my pen? So the NFL and the way that they're looking at this bounty gate, and it's very obvious. No one cares. But they make a great big deal production over it because of all the other because of all the other games, all the other things that are going on in the NFL, everything else that's going on in the NFL. And if you think for a second that this is something that is on the, you know, not on the regular, you're not, you honestly, if you honestly think this is done, Bountygate, or, you know, things like Bountygate, you're really naive. The fact that they got caught, I'm telling you, the only reason why they got caught is because two reasons. Number one, I don't think you'll hear too many sound guys in the locker room before the game, before the quote-unquote inspirational kickoff speech. You'll never see that again. And that'll be ordered by the NFL. Forget the teams. I mean, because the NFL looks really dumb in this. All ways they look dumb in this. And they can blame the players for that. But the fact of the matter is that everybody in the NFL knows it. And if they want to lie, and if they really want people to believe them, let them go ahead. Oh, no, we weren't part of a bounty. Give me a break. There's some kind of bounty system even going on now. So no audio, no video, no writing it down. It's an absolute and utter joke. Now, the audio doesn't mention money, but it mentions Greg Williams being the biggest scumbag in the NFL. And, folks, I mean that, okay? I honestly want to live in Sonny's world here, okay? And think that kind of thing, you hit the guy hard and you bring him down. Not when you're under the pile, rip his knee out, turn his ankle, do all this. I don't want to hear that shit. I want to hear, in the Sonny Clark world, I want to hear, hit the guy hard, knock him down. I want to hear go after the ball when it's in there, not go after a knee, not after an ankle. It sickens me. And this guy shouldn't be allowed in the NFL. And it just goes to show the NFL has no stones. They think they got stones. They make it look like they got stones. They got Roger Goodell, the vice principal of the NFL. He's sitting right there. Oh, yeah, they got stones. Oh, they and all the finding that's going on in the NFL, it is creative genius. I'll give them that. I will give it to them all day long. Roger Goodell is a genius. Now, I'm not saying that all these fines are going to pay all their legal fees, but it sure is a good way not to make sure it doesn't come out of their own pocket and out of the pockets of the people who own football teams. It's funny. Roger Goodell's a genius. And they can say whatever they want. But they're not getting past Sonny here. Those fines and everything supposedly go to charity and all that crap. Hey, they're going to give charity anyway. Okay? I'm sure they're diverting funds over to the legal side. Every time they fine someone $10,000, it might buy them 3 hours of service. It's just one of those things. I mean, Frank Gore, for wearing his socks too long, can we really? I mean, there's one thing. Even in a regular business, there's something about a dress code. I get it. I understand it, and it's there. But really, no one knew about this Frank Gore situation until they brought it up. No one cared because he didn't look so crazy out there. This is dumb. $10,500. $10,500. This is dumb. Never mind all these other stupid fines that are going on. Now, and I get the fact they want you to wear Reebok or Nike or whatever I think it's Nike now. I get it, and I understand it makes sense. They're the main sponsors. Got it. I'm all with it. Completely 100% with it. But how you wear your socks, okay, whether down low, down high, I mean, he didn't look any worse than anybody out there. I mean, this thing wasn't so blatant where people were up in arms like, oh, my God, would you look at that guy's socks? He looks like a freaking moron. No one even said a damn thing except the NFL. The NFL found a real easy way to get $10,500 from someone. Pocket that for your legal fees. Do it. You know, I believe it. And I honestly, call me conspiracy couch, but every fine that's going on, all these dumb fines that are going on in the NFL this year, all of them that handled, and we're not done yet. It's just lining their pockets to take care. Now, you know, their legal fees are through the roof. But, man, if you can find a way to divert funds that are not out of your own pocket, they're taking money from the players to pay for their legal things against the players. It's genius. Roger Goodell's a genius. And I don't mean genius in a good way. But, I mean, what better way to pay for your legal fees is to have someone else pay for them, and that's what the NFL's doing with these fines. I swear. Call me conspiracies, but that's where I'm at. I'm with that, and I believe it. And I believe it like it was yesterday, that that's the kind of thing that's going on over in the NFL. Because the NFL, you know, when it comes to doing the right things, they don't always do it. And the fact of the matter is the right thing really doesn't affect us as a viewership unless we're in the business, like doing these shows or keeping track, I mean, for something. But Roger Goodell, man, he's spot on. I got to give the guy some credit. He's got stones. But the fact they're going to go ahead and hire Greg Williams over in Tennessee. Sean Payton was reinstated by Goodell earlier in January here. He was suspended for the whole year. But here's the funny thing. He wasn't the head coach of that football team. Defensive coordinator. It's really sad. Guy got suspended for the whole year. He was actually with the Rams organization when he got news that he was being suspended. Now he's a Titan. Titan says, we'll sign you as soon as you're instated. Boom. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen quick. Speaking of the Saints, and we're keeping up on the Saints, they go ahead and fire Steve Spagnuolo. Talk about another scapegoat. Play on the foot, the bounty gate is definitely Greg Williams. The play out on the football field is all going to go Spag's way. All his problem. Now, hopefully, Spagnuolo will get a job. I have a feeling we won't see him as a coach anywhere this year. I really do. I believe that. And the main reason is you cannot coach that football team. It's even though you're a scapegoat, you know, you cannot give up 292 yards a game rushing. That's inexcusable for a football team. Never mind you're the Saints. Never mind you're a team that's normally sitting right there on the verge of playoffs. You can't do that. You can't have that kind of performance going on out on the football field. You just can't. And whether or not that this guy is the main reason for that, we will never know. Because the players of that football team showed up and no one was interested in football. They thought they'd skate. We are the Saints. We'll skate. Just goes to show, if you got talents on your team, that's one thing. They still got to be able to prove it on the football field each and every week. And when they can't prove it each and every week, you get the results that you saw the Saints going. Giving up 292 yards a game. Are we serious? 147 yards in the air each game. Ay, ay, ay. And this guy, unfortunately for him, is the scapegoat of the play out on the football field for the Saints. It's a sad story. And I feel bad for Spagnuolo. I like Spagnuolo. Buffalo Bills go ahead and they're getting close to signing a long-term lease with Ralph Wilson Stadium. We kind of talked about this on the Couch Potato Sports Show yesterday. And Cuervo made a great point. When you look at Buffalo, you don't look at Buffalo like New York. You don't look at Buffalo like Dallas. You don't look at Buffalo like Miami or L.A. When you think about Buffalo, you kind of think about the Steelers, but you know this blue collar type of team. Now, they're going to do a bunch of renovations and everything, but this is an outside football field, man. It is football by definition, almost, down to the T. But here's the thing. The Buffalo Bills, they fire Chan Gailey. I'm all right with it. I think maybe next year would have been the time, but I'm okay with the firing of Chan Gailey. Chan Gailey is really a teacher, and this guy is going to be a coordinator somewhere next year. Chan Gailey will have a job. I'm not even worried about it. And if he doesn't, he'll have one next year. He might take a year off. This guy's old people, too. But when you think about what Chan Gailey has done for this Buffalo Bills team, he has put them in a position now. He's taken them as far as they possibly can with him at the helm. Okay? He is that Bill Parcells. But Bill Parcells got lucky a couple times over the hump, got him into the Super Bowl. Good. But really, Bill Parcells is a guy that sets up a team for success. Look what he did with the Giants. He actually won a Super Bowl with the Giants. Look what he did in New England when he was there. Look at what he did when he was part of the Jets organization. Look what he did when he was down in Dallas. This guy is a guy that sets teams up for success. The problem with Chan Gailey is he hasn't won the Super Bowl, okay, even when he was with Dallas, okay? This guy was putting together a good football team when he was ousted. And then the other guys came on and improved a little bit of what's going on. Really, frankly, the Cowboys haven't been the same since that whole thing. And the Cowboys had an opportunity to really be a good football team, if you think about it. I mean, you're talking about Bill Parcells doing what he does best. I mean, they went 13-3 the year after. He set that team up for success. Now, there are certain things that can and cannot be handled by coaches, okay? But Wade Phillips, unfortunately, was in a bad situation. He is laughing his ass off down in Houston, although he opened up his big mouth about one player, Wes Welker, and they got their asses handed to him in a playoff game by Wes Welker himself. That, take away from that, that guy hasn't done really too bad of anything down in Houston, except made the defense one of the best in the NFL ever since he stepped foot out on that football field. Over in Dallas, they've been missing Phillips. But they're not missing him as a leader or a head coach. They're missing him as a defensive coordinator. However, talk about scapegoats. You get on over to Dallas, there's some scapegoats. I'll tell you right now, and I'm not a fan of Rob Ryan at all. But you want to talk about a scapegoat, that guy took it in the shorts. Sure in the hell wasn't the reason why they were losing football games because of the defense. And this is a guy who sat and watched all these games. I'm telling you right now, the Dallas Cowboys had a lot of problems on the offensive side of the ball. And the fact that Jerry Jones could not see that problem tells me that the guy has no idea what's going on. But during, like I said yesterday on the Couch Potato Sports Show, week 1 through 17, it's about coaching. You know, you look at the talent of the Dallas Cowboys, you look at a team that's got some talent. The fact that the football coaches could not get that put together, that is a coaching problem. Now, I'm not a fan of Jerry Jones in the locker room. I'm not a fan of Jerry Jones on the radio twice a week on Monday and Friday here on The Fan. Okay? I'm not a fan of hearing from the Dallas Cowboys coach each and every day. God, what team does that? Am I just blind and every team has a press conference every single day? Someone needs to tell me because I think Dallas is the only one. I don't want to hear Jason Garrett's politically correct answers every single day. It's bad enough I'd have to hear him twice a week after the game and as they prepare for one. That would be all I'd want to hear from Jason Garrett. But the Dallas Cowboys have made this hey, I'll give it to them. America's team, they want to hear from either Jerry Jones or the head coach. Oh, that's definitely what people want to hear. Press conferences are a great big waste of time. If anything, you get some good sound bites when they get pissed off about answering the same dumb questions over and over and over. Some people are masters at it. Jason Garrett's a master at talking to the press. That guy could dodge a question. You can pinpoint a question to him, and you want to talk about dodge a question. And that's his job. I mean, he's not going to give out any juicy details about anything. But the Dallas Cowboys, their whole situation, it's really kind of funny. They have Jason Garrett because he's a disciplinarian. Well, you know, all they had was a bunch of nonsense off the field, and then they topped it off with a guy killing one of the other players, and then they top it off yet again with Jay Ratliff with a DUI. If you're Jay Ratliff, you got to feel and think you're the dumbest guy on the face of this earth. How the hell, if you're Jay Ratliff, a player of the NFL, after one of your teammates kills another one because he was drinking and driving. Jason Garrett's a great disciplinarian. Oh, he's got control. I'm going to tell you, these kind of stories, for it to happen one time in a team where someone gets busted for a DUI, you would think you would not hear about it for that team, at least for the rest of that year. Or within a year. It just goes to show, these players really think they're invincible. They think they can get away with anything. That, in other words, taking anything seriously is definitely not in their forte. They don't know how to take anything seriously. They think life is one great big party. You go drink at, then you drive. Yeah, go have a drink and drive home, you dummy. Jay Ratliff has got to be the dumbest football player in the NFL. I mean, never mind the fact the guy's a monster on the football field. I won't deny that all day long, okay? But if you're Jay Ratliff, do you really get in the face of the general manager and owner, Jerry Jones, in a locker room in front of media? I mean, are you really that stupid? Evidently he is. Do you really go out and get busted for a DUI after one of your teammate kills another player? Evidently he is. He's got to be the dumbest Dallas Cowboy in years. And Dez Bryant isn't the smartest guy in the world for smacking up his mother, but at least this guy's not dumb out there driving around drunk. Oh, man. I've lived in Dallas here for 7 years. 8 years now. 8 years, yeah, 8 years. And I sit and I listen to what has happened to this football team within the 8 years that I've lived here. And to me, there's no question that Jerry Jones is a big problem in Dallas, but that's like saying Bill Gates, you're going to take Bill Gates, the head of Microsoft, and get rid of him. He's the owner and general manager of, that's just not going to happen, okay? And once fans stop that BS, okay? Once fans realize what's going on down in Dallas, which is the fact that it doesn't matter what they think, okay? The only way anything that they think or say is taken seriously by the ownership of the Dallas Cowboys, i.e. Jerry Jones, is when they don't fill up that stadium. I mean, we've said that on the Couch Potato Sports Show many times, but when they're selling out each and every game at, minimum tickets, crazy. But yet he gets that money. Jerry Jones won't do anything until it affects him and as far as the bottom line, and that's the pocketbook. And that means fans not showing up. Got to give it to the Dallas Cowboy fans, though. They're really passionate and they're very loyal. But the problem is they're also very arrogant. But the Dallas Cowboys in their situation, I was the Dallas Cowboys examiner and I resigned. Why? Because I'm writing the same story each and every week. Each and every week about the Dallas Cowboys. It never changes. I mean, I could literally go back in my archive of the Dallas Cowboys and I'll follow it for the last 2 years, let's just say. After week one, we'll be talking about the same things for 2 years. And boy, oh boy, that gets old and boring. There are only 17 weeks to talk about football. But we'll be talking about the same thing week 1 through 17, and the same issues are going to be here. And the fact is that it's not going to change because Jerry Jones doesn't want to change because he owns the team. And let's be honest, folks. Let's even just go to the hypothetical and give it to the fans. Yeah, he's going to hire a general manager. Do you honestly think that the general manager is not anything but a title? Jerry Jones is going to make all the final decisions regarding general managing in the first place. It's good to be a Jerry Jones yes man. It's very good to be a Jerry Jones yes man. It pays well to be a Jerry Jones yes man. So there is absolutely no reason why to think anybody is going to come up to Jerry and say, you know, Jerry, you're really fucking this up. Because it's not going to happen. That's not the way it works with him. And until that changes, everybody knows that you're going to get it. So you might as well just set yourself up for failure, okay? Because Tony Romo's going to be the quarterback of this team next year. And without fail. At some point, you got to put this on Tony Romo. Sometimes you can say, well, you know, bad call, probably call it. But still, Tony Romo, all right, take away. Hey, Tony Romo fumbled the snap, stopped the kick for them getting into the playoffs. Okay, Tony Romo, just in this last week 17, threw two bad interceptions, and one of them cost him the football game. Okay, then performances of not making the playoffs, you know, as a team. As a quarterback, you got to take control of your football team. I'm sorry, if anybody really honestly thinks Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, I'm tired of making these comparisons because it's the same names, but guess what? They're always success. If they followed him, they'd be great. You want to know who the best quarterback in the NFL is going to be, the next best one? Okay? It's going to be Ryan Mallard. And for those who just said who, you ought to be ashamed of yourself if you're a Patriots fan anyway. It's the backup quarterback. This guy is going to be so prepared. Hey, remember the last good quarterback that has come out that has been really good has been Aaron Rodgers? Who did he back up for many a year? Ryan Mallard's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And if anybody questions that, they have no clue what's going to happen. He's going to have one of the best coaches in the world if he decides to stay there. And this guy's going to have complete success following and standing behind Tom Brady, learning from possibly, you know, arguably, and I'm going to put it out, the best quarterback ever to play the game. And I'm telling you right now, they when they drafted him, said, listen, Ryan, we love you. We drafted you for a reason. We think you got talent, but you're not going to see the field. You have got the opportunity of a lifetime, and there are only so many quarterbacks in modern-day NFL get the opportunity that you get. One of them is to become a great big millionaire and play football every once in a while and practice. And you get to work out and hang out with the guys until you're able to take over the reins of this football team. And as a matter of fact, folks, let me just marinate on this for a little bit, okay? The best backup quarterback in the NFL is going to be Ryan Mallard. And I'm telling you that right now because guess what? Sooner or later, we're not talking about Tom Brady always getting hurt, are we? It's bound to happen sooner or later. And I think this next year might be the season where we'll see Ryan Mallard. He will never take over this football team until Tom Brady decides to call it a career. And that might not be for a while, but I'm going to tell you right now, the best. And there's a lot of NFL quarterbacks, teams out there looking for a quarterback, and how soon we forget about a guy that no one's heard of the last 3 years because he's been a backup for one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. We don't know who the backup quarterback to Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers for a reason. We don't know who they are because we don't see them. And just to let you know, out of all of those, there's only been one quarterback that has stayed the backup quarterback in the for the Patriots. All the other ones, they just bring guys in and out. The Arizona Cardinals are in a position here to be able to make this smart move. And this is the first time I'm saying this, so you're hearing it first here on NDB Media, here on Sports Talk Over Coffee. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to put it out there, and I will be talking about it through this offseason. The Arizona Cardinals need to figure out a way to get Ryan Mallard away from the Patriots, if that's even possible. Ryan Mallard will be a very, very good quarterback. You look at Aaron Rodgers, how many years he stood behind Brett Favre. No one even heard of Aaron Rodgers, I mean, for the years that Brett Favre was there. Why? Because Brett Favre doesn't miss football games. Same thing with Tom Brady. This guy's learning from the best in the game, the best, next best quarterback that will come behind that no one heard of or even thought about will be Ryan Mallard. And he's going to be, he's quite possibly, and this is without him even taking the field, quite possibly the best backup in the NFL right now. When you've got Tom Brady teaching you this game, you're going to be all set. Aaron Rodgers almost came, this guy came in and was almost an instant success. Ryan Mallard is not going to be any different. Not only that, if he still has Bill Belichick when he does take over this football team, that's only a plus for that guy. The Arizona Cardinals need to get up on the phone and figure out how to get that guy away from there. If that's even possible. I don't know. I don't have any inside track on it. But I'm going to tell you, the Arizona Cardinals got a problem at the quarterback position that if they don't take care of, it don't matter who's going to be the head coach of that football team. I've been talking about this for years. When you don't have a good quarterback for your football team and you're the Arizona Cardinals, who were never any good before you got Kurt Warner, what does that tell you? You need a Hall of Fame type quarterback for this football team. If not the next best, at least someone who backed them up and who can learn from them. Because really, if you think about the open market at the quarterback position right now, the Arizona Cardinals are screwed. Any team that needs a quarterback really is screwed. Anybody wants to talk about getting that backup up there in Seattle? Yeah, the guy played one game, signed a $10 million contract, hasn't seen the football field since. Now, granted, it was a great business move. But as far as football talent, we don't know how good that guy is. On a day-to-day, weekend, week-out basis, we don't know how good that guy's going to be. His name's slipping my mind. No, sir. Flynn. So if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan and you got Tony Romo, you may want to think there's some teams out there. I'm telling you right now, Ryan Mallett is and one of these days I'll ask Cuervo it. See, the problem with having the syndrome that I have is concussion syndrome. Sometimes I've been knocked in the head so many times I can't even say the word concussion. Is you can't remember what you said, but I'm going to remember this on purpose. Because I'm going to talk to Cuervo about this when we get up on air next time. And I'm telling you, the next best quarterback is going to be someone, and it's going to be Ryan Mallard. And the question I'm going to pose to him, name the next best quarterback that's going to walk out there if you're not going to get him in the draft. Who's going to be the next guy? And frankly, there's nobody right now that is primed to take over a football team better than Ryan Mallard up there in New England. Here's one of the problems with the whole situation, just so that you know. One of the problems is when you are set up for that kind of success, you could be nervous. And I think we could maybe see some nervousness come from one, Ryan Mallard, for about 3 or 4 weeks, though. Because that guy is primed to be one of the best to play the game. You've been listening to Sports Talk Over Coffee here on NDB Media. You catch us here on Mondays and Fridays during this time. Normally, I have Andrea with us, but unfortunately, I have no Andrea. So I've been on a football barrage this morning. We've covered a lot of things. Let's get back to the Arizona Cardinals for a minute. they go ahead, they get the head coach, well, the interim head coach, Irsay, or not Irsay, I forget, it doesn't matter. He's the guy who stood in for the head coach over in Indianapolis. The Arizona Cardinals have got to stop doing a couple of things, and one of them is grabbing up something. I don't want to say the guy's not a good head coach, but we got to really put it in perspective. The guy had Andrew Luck, which was a phenom. He's a young phenom. For a guy to go in and do what he did over in Indianapolis, he's a phenom. He isn't a questionable or marginal player. You took a rookie, and I don't care how good they were, and you made them a success in their first year. They made the playoffs. They made the second round of the playoffs. The Colts. No one was talking about the Colts at the beginning of the season to do what they did. And let's just say this. If the Texans didn't have the year they had, the Colts winning that division, unbelievable. That could have happened if the Texans weren't as good as they were this year. So the guy definitely gets kudos. Like I said, I can't remember the coach's name. It's really irrelevant. I see his face. I know who I'm talking about. But the Arizona grabs the flavor of the month, man. I know the guy's background. I get it, and I understand it. But the Arizona Cardinals grabbed this guy up just because he did a good job. So what is the Arizona Cardinals going to do in order to let this guy do a good job? What does this guy do best is he works with young quarterbacks, a good young quarterbacks, and all you're going to do is give him a couple stiffs? Kevin Kolb's a stiff. The guy backs him up. I can't think of his name. Why? Because he's no good. He's stiff too. This guy's not going to make a stiff into a better quarterback. He's going to mold a young mind. There's a difference. If you're going to mold a young mind, give him a good young mind. Don't give him a bunch of stiffs. And that's what's going to be happening there. And I cannot say for a fact, but I'm not feeling very good about the Arizona Cardinals, even with their new head coach. Until that team gets a football move at the quarterback position, and I'm talking about a good one, the Arizona Cardinals are going to be the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, this Arizona Cardinal team was three plays away from winning the Super Bowl four years ago. Are we serious? What have they done since? The only difference on that football team is they don't have a named quarterback. So what does it tell you as a franchise? Go get a damn quarterback. That's the way it works. That's the way those kind of things end up working all year long. And you can get the best coach in the world out there, but guess what? It isn't going to do you much good if you're the Arizona Cardinals if you don't have the right personnel out on the football field. And they're going to fail at that miserably, and they're going to lose their best player on the football team, and that's Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald's only going to stay there for very much longer without any kind of success. Now, I'll give the Cardinals a little credit. When the guy to get was Kevin Kolb, they went out and got him. They need to figure out who that guy is. Like I said, get on the phone. See if you can get Ryan Mallard. At least get that guy away from New England, and he's primed and ready to go. Learning behind the best quarterback in the NFL to ever play the game. It's possibly the right move. I know it's a little bit crazy, and I don't even know if that could possibly happen. But if it does, you're going to be in better shape for it. Arizona Cardinals. Well, folks, we did it. We spent the hour here on TV Media. You're listening to the Sports Talk Over Coffee. By Trey and Kyle Giants, House, Sunny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. We'll catch you on the Cosmic Space Sports Show and Friday at the same time slot, 8:30 Central Standard Time. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.